one, two, yeah, yeah, hey, hey.
Get up with Claire and Sam.
Get the catch up at hit.com.au
or download the Hit app.
This is The Catch Up on Riverina's MIA Hit 99.7.
We're having our first debate of the morning at 11 past 6.
Oh, gee whiz. Okay, all right, just hang on, give me 10 minutes to mentally prepare for this.
Yeah, we don't have time for that. So, this morning, a new study's come out. Mm-hmm. This is from England. And you know we love a good study on this show.
Mm.
This study shows that women are actually better drivers than men.
Amen. Wait, what?
Yeah.
Ha! Good one.
No, seriously. So this men always go on about study. How, you know, women can't drive and we women are such bad drivers.
We don't go on about it. You just are.
Okay. Well, there is proof now that that's not a thing. Thank you very much.
Classic.
It's actually apparently caused debate for years.
Yeah. I believe it has to.
But thanks to this study carried out, it's been revealed that female drivers actually have been unnecessarily branded the inferior sex, and it states that women drivers are actually far better than their male counterparts for numerous reasons.
Okay, hit us up.
So, according to the research, it's all down to statistics. So women are statistically safer drivers than men.
We're going to do a one horn per stat. Ready?
Okay. I don't know if we can do that, but okay.
We'll try.
So in 2017, this is a British study, like I said, 585,000 British drivers found themselves in court for motoring offences, which a jaw-dropping 69% were male.
What?
Told you. Breaking those numbers down into individual motoring offences, the research shows that men dominated each and every category. Not in a good thing, Sam. Oh,
my fists are pumping.
Each and every category of motoring offences was taken out by the men, including speeding, driving without insurance, careless driving, drink driving, not having something called car tax, which is obviously a English thing, and several other offences.
That's all the men out there, ready? Just going for it, honking the horns.
But I'm sorry. A minute ago, you were saying that you're a better driver because you're male.
Nah, it just sounds cool now you put all these big numbers and stats together.
So this is the thing as well. If you look at it like from an Australian point of view as well.
Yeah.
So I know this is English study, but.
I mean, we are the convicts of England. So
this is true. Mm. If you look at insurance and rego.
Mm.
So insurance wise, a female gets a cheaper rate.
What?
Than a male does.
In the UK?
No, here. Under 30. Did you not know that?
This is bull dust.
Yeah.
Women
generally get cheaper rates than men for the exact same thing because we're less likely to have an accident.
Really?
Yeah.
How much are we talking?
Well, it obviously depends on the car and the person and their age. So I can't give you an exact figure.
Are we talking possibly north of $100
per
annum? What?
Yeah. So,
you guys don't need equal pay. Far out.
There are lots of factors that come into this. Hey, don't even get me started on that. Obviously, if you've had driving offences and stuff, it brings things up. But here's a perfect example. And I love using my brother as an example. I'm sorry, Blake.
Oh, Blake's a legend. He doesn't mind.
He's a legend, but he sucks at driving. Let's be honest. He's currently on a good behaviour bond for 12 months because he's lost his licence.
How old is he?
He's 22.
Jeez.
So he drives a Hilux.
Yeah, Toyota Hilux.
Yeah, and I drive a RAV4.
Yep.
Okay, so I pay in annual premiums for just like we're talking full comprehensive, right?
Mm-hmm.
$900 a year.
You do?
Yeah.
For everything?
Just comprehensive insurance.
Okay, yeah.
He pays about $1,600.
Whoa, dude.
So, I mean, I know they're different cars, we're different ages and all the rest of it, but that is a pretty extreme difference. And apparently,
technically still on your P's when you probably did that.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. I was on my P's then.
Yeah.
So if you look at it, and he's been on his full license for years.
Yeah.
It's pretty bad. Apparently, 65% of all insurance claims in 2017 belong to males as well.
What the? Yeah! That is ridiculous.
So, there's none of this men are better than women at driving.
We need to find these stats in Australia.
Yeah, I know.
See if they reflect.
I reckon they would.
That is amazing.
I reckon they would.
There's got to be some truth to the pudding, though, in terms of women still.
How can there be truth when I've just given you facts?
this is...
Are we ready?
The Catch Up.
With Claire and Sam.
Got some more UK facts to share. We were talking about women being the better drivers. That's still up for debate, but...
no, it's not.
Did you know England, they use 4.7 billion plastic straws every year?
Wow.
316 million plastic stirrers and 1.8 billion plastic stemmed cotton buds every year.
Well, can I say with the stirrers, I don't think we really use those in Australia anymore, do we?
Yeah, there's still some floating around, some weird office joints, but not too many. And guess what? Around 10% of these cotton buds out of the 1.8 billion are flushed down the toilet and end up in waterways and oceans. So it's 180 million cotton buds.
Why do you flush them down the toilet? Why would you do that? There's a bin.
Yeah, I don't know. People are weird.
How many straws did you say they use annually in
4.7 billion.
See, okay, at least ours, we obviously have less population. I just looked ours up. We only use 10 million.
Whoa, that is massive.
Oh, wait, no,
difference.
Sorry.
No.
That's per day.
No way.
Apparently.
Day.
ABC have said, yeah, we reuse 10 million straws a day in Australia.
So we're up to, what, 365 million or something, yeah. Which makes sense. So that's why the UK government has decided to take action, and they are banning the sale of plastic straws, stirrers and cotton buds in England.
What?
From next year. Well done to them. It comes after a public consultation which saw 80% of people back a ban on the distribution and sale of plastic straws.
Yeah, okay.
So quite convincingly, the public want to ban them. So I guess now we're seeing in all our grocery stores, the plastic straws are gone and they're bringing in the paper straws. You can now buy metal straws everywhere and that type of thing.
I am
personally,
I was just going to say, I don't really use straws that often, I don't think. Like, other than when I go to Macca's and they give me a straw and a cup. I don't know any other time I use one.
Personally, I'm a massive fan of straws. When I have my banana smoothies, I always like to use a straw. Just makes it feel a bit more fancy.
Yeah.
That's pretty much the only time I use a straw. Or when you go out for a breakfast somewhere and you get some sort of drink and, you know, they put it in a straw. Last time I was in Sydney, we went to some, like, health hut type setup in Bronte Beach, and they gave us a metal straw.
Oh.
I tried to chew on that metal straw.
Yeah, that wouldn't have worked.
And that hurt my mouth big time, hurt my teeth. So I'm not a massive fan either, because I've now had to buy the cardboard, the paper straws.
Yeah.
And while they're sitting in my smoothie, they go moldy and they go soft and they go like
eating
cardboard.
I mean, I don't think they probably go moldy straight
off,
but
they just feel
I know
weak.
What you're talking about. The only problem here,
I don't like it.
The problem with banning plastic straws altogether is that those who have disabilities sometimes actually need the plastic straw rather than having a metal or paper straw.
Tell me more.
So say that someone has cerebral palsy, right?
Yep.
Which means that they can't move a lot of their body. Mm-hmm. Sometimes their mouth is the only thing that does work properly, if anything.
Mm-hmm.
And even then, having that plastic straw allows them to move the straw as they need to be able to drink something out of a drink. They can't necessarily drink any other way.
Yeah.
A paper straw doesn't last long enough. A lot of the time, by the time they get the whole drink down, that paper straw's disintegrated.
Well, if it's for me after 5 minutes, then if
that's
they're
it.
Drinking for 10, 15, 20.
Oh, longer, yeah. And then on top of that, you've also got metal straws, which, depending once again on their disability, they may not be able to use that either.
Mm. Because as you mentioned off air, they can get hot.
They do get
you
hot.
Have a hot drink.
Yeah.
They can get warm. Once again, they might have the same issue as me. Even though I don't have a disability, I still bite my straw.
It may be that they have to bite their straw to be able to keep it in their mouth as well.
Yes.
Like, there's so many reasons why, for disability, you kind of need plastic straws. They shouldn't be banned 100%.
So let's wrap this up. What's the solution? Can we get a plastic straw that's hard enough plastic to be recycled?
Yeah, I mean, why don't we recycle them? Why are they not recyclable plastic?
Yes.
That doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, I reckon there should be there's a bit of a market for that.
Yeah.
Any of you plastic straw manufacturers listening?
Oh, yeah.
Get onto it, please. Thank you.
This is The Catch Up
with Claire and Sam.
Ooh.
Game of Thrones. This is going to be one of the best intros, though. It's pretty cool how you go throughout the Seven Kingdoms.
Yeah.
The map as you enjoy the dragon view across the land.
Yeah, but after like 6 or 7 seasons, you kind of get over it.
Oh, I watch it every time.
Do you really?
Yeah.
I fast forward.
Because you
if
learn
I can.
Little things about what's going on.
Yeah, every once in a while, but I don't like watching every single one.
Fair call. Well, a lot's come out of the latest season of Game of Thrones, Claire, and most of it's negative, which is quite sad. The last couple of seasons has copped quite a critique from not only critics but fans all alike.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to be asking for your calls on 13, 12, 16 too, because Game of Thrones may have a bad bit of a rep now, but the characters do not. So a lot of people are actually fighting for Game of Thrones to have sequels, to have spin-off series. So we're going to be asking for your calls on 13, 12, 16, who you'd like to see do their own sequel. A lot of people are petitioning for Arya Stark to have her own sequel. Obviously, she was probably the most popular character, one of the most popular characters from the Game of Thrones series. They're looking for 500 signatures. I think they've well and truly got over that for change.org. And it's interesting to see what's going to come of it.
So do you reckon it'll actually happen? It's all good and great to put a petition up, but...
It might. I honestly don't know.
Yeah, okay.
I have no idea what's going to happen. But the actor who played Jaime Lannister.
Yes.
He came out and said, it's kind of sad. What a great 10 years. Thank you so much for watching. I'm just grateful. That episode, it was amazing. I really thought it was a great ending. Blah, 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 blah. I don't want to say any more because I haven't seen it and I think I just read a spoiler.
Oh, Tim.
Far out. That's kind of disappointed me. But Arya Stark is leading the race at the moment for a sequel.
So who else is on it? So there's Arya Stark.
Who else is on Game of Thrones?
Who else is in the running? Is there anyone else necessarily?
No, that whole article is just about Arya Stark. Okay. That's why we want to know on 13, 12, 16, who would you like to see
a
sequel for Game of Thrones? Yeah. Hit us up.
This is...
Are we ready?
The Catch Up.
With Claire and Sam.
We are talking Game of Thrones this morning. Now, obviously, the main TV show is over.
It is. But there could be a spin-off series because there's been a petition started for Arya Stark or whatever.
Yeah.
The short chick with the needle as the sword.
Yes.
I'm not sure if that still exists. We're not massive fans here, but we still watch it.
I'm a massive fan. I'm waiting.
Oh, okay. Right.
I'm waiting at the moment.
There you go. If you're a massive fan, she's still got the needle.
I haven't seen this season. She did in the previous season.
Did she? Okay.
Yeah.
All right, there we go. Well, she's still got it, maybe. I don't know. We've been asking for your calls on 13, 12, 16, and Daryl's given us a call this morning. Daryl, who would you like to see on the spin-off series?
Guys, forget Arya, forget Jon Snow. They're both boring. I want to see Pod. I want to see that young boy that became a man.
Podrick!
And I want to see, Podrick, yeah. I want to see the entourage of Westeros with Podrick and his boy crew.
Yes! Be honest, mate. You just want to know what he did with those women.
Didn't they say that he had some... And said he had the magic golden touch, and I want to figure out how that works.
Yes. All the other men in the village were jealous.
There are so many different ones, though, of the little characters that you really do want to know a bit more of their backstory.
Podrick is a great, great person. Yeah. I agree with you there, Daryl.
Awesome, Daryl.
It was a coming-of-age story that we needed.
Absolutely.
Keyword, they're coming. All right, thanks, mate.
Sam.
There we go. Not bad. Podrick?
Yeah, Podrick. There's quite a few, though, that I can think of.
Who would you like to see?
To be honest, I don't know exactly. There's a few different faces that I wouldn't mind seeing. I wouldn't mind seeing Arya Stark at the same time though, because the one thing that I believe wasn't really kept up to date with and didn't really have an explanation at the end of all of it was that because she had many faces, she could change her faces and stuff. There was no end to that storyline.
Yeah, she just went back to normal life, didn't she?
There was nothing. So
all right, well, we'll have to see if anything comes of it.
This is The Catch Up
with Claire and Sam.
Sam, I want your opinion on something quickly.
Oh, my opinion. Okay, never matters, but let's do it.
We're talking Uber.
Okay, Uber, yep.
Uber. Now, obviously, we don't have Uber in the area. No. I think the Wagga has them now.
You know what's funny about Wagga? They do have them.
Yeah.
They've got a total of two.
Oh, really?
So apparently demand is high.
Right. Okay. Well, Uber has started a new subscription service as such. Well, not subscription, but a new service.
I think I know where this is going. Does it involve the ocean?
It does. So at the moment, they've got three different services on the road kind of thing, depending on the type of car you want.
Yeah. Uber X, Uber Black, Uber XL. They've even got Uber Chopper.
Oh, do they really?
Yeah.
Oh, and they've also got that Uber one where you join with other people and...
Oh, yeah, Uber Pool.
Uber Pool, so it's carpooling.
I love it.
But they have decided they're going to go underwater now. So
what?
I don't know how
underwater?
I don't know how I feel about this. So they've got something called Scuba now, as in scuba diving.
Right,
and
yeah.
Uber.
Yeah.
Scuba.
Good one.
Yeah. And they've started Scuba for submarine rides at the Great Barrier Reef.
Submarines.
Yeah. They're mini submarines. They're not a giant submarine. They're more like a two-person submarine, right?
Fantastic.
And so this is the thing, is that they're now going to do submarine rides at the Great Barrier Reef as part of their dubbed Scuba service.
Nice.
So they've partnered with Tourism and Events Queensland for the idea.
Yep.
And it means that people can go ride. They're going to stay starting on the 27th this month, so just a few days' time.
Yep.
From Port Douglas, you'll be able to go. It's only going through till mid-June at this stage, more of a test, I guess.
Shorty, yep.
Each ride lasts about an hour, which is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
And it means you get to see the reef, which is awesome.
Yeah.
Coral, all the dope-looking fish, that kind of stuff.
Wonder how much it costs.
Look, I don't know exactly, but apparently...
So this is just a promotional thing. Obviously, no one's needing to really get out in a submarine to this specific location. You're not typing in a location in your phone going,
you've got to pre-register it somehow.
42 Wallaby Way, Sydney.
And there's actually a website called scubaqueensland.com.
Yeah, okay.
So you can win a scuba ride, and I think that's the main way they're doing these.
Fair enough.
But
what?
I don't know how I feel about this. We always talk about how the Great Barrier Reef is already dying and how we're not taking care of it properly. And now we want to add scuba to the Great Barrier Reef.
Well, I don't know. Submarines aren't damaging the reef, are they? And plus it's bringing extra attention to the issues that the reef is facing. So
I don't know.
I think it's a good thing.
I feel like it's a... I don't know how to feel about it because it is one of those things where like it's like we should just not touch it at all. Mm. Let it naturally get back to how it should be rather than us doing all the stuff we're doing up there.
I don't know if we can naturally let it get back. I think we've damaged it too much. That's it needs help.
Anyway, if you want to try one of these scuba rides, you can go to scubaqueensland.com and try and win one.
I'm for it. It needs as long as it brings a positive light to the reef and, you know, extra conservation comes from it, then go for it.
Fingers crossed that's what happens.
Yeah. As long as it's not driving into the reef and damaging it more, just make sure there's no men behind the wheel. As we worked out earlier today, women are the better drivers.
Exactly.
Up for debate.
This is...
Are we ready?
The Catch Up.
With Claire and Sam.
Now, Sam, the Salvo's Red Shield appeal is happening this weekend.
Yes.
But something else is happening at Salvo's at the moment that
locally
probably doesn't get a lot of mention. Mm. And we thought we'd find out a little bit more. So we've got Lauren on the phone again this morning. Hey, Lauren, how you doing?
Thanks for having me again.
No worries.
Our pleasure.
Lauren, you were saying to us that there is something kind of new and awesome that the Salvo's have put together here in Griffith for those who are maybe suffering from homelessness or just need a bit of help.
That's right. Look, we know that Griffith particularly has had an increase in the amount of people who are homeless and struggling to find accommodation. Mm-hmm. And we know that social isolation affects a lot of people. So what we've done is we've opened up a room and we've called it the B Room. B-E. People can just come and be.
Oh, nice.
So there's a kitchenette there. People can cook meals so they don't have to go and buy expensive takeout that's not very good for you. Mm. They can relax, charge their phones, watch TV, wash their clothes. We've got a washing machine there.
Fantastic.
For people who are experiencing homelessness. And we'd love to put in a shower as well. We've got plans to do that for next year so that we can support people. You know, a lot of people come to Griffith. They come for the work.
Yeah.
But often they're underemployed. So it might be seasonal work or it's quite low paid.
Not
so
just
really
that,
hard
Lauren.
To
but
find accommodation.
It is really hard to find accommodation around here in general at the moment. I know that for a while now, this is something the council's been battling, is the fact there's not enough accommodation around here. So I'm sure that, you know, without us even realising, there's probably a lot more homeless people than we think.
Yes, look, hidden homelessness is a really big issue in Australia. So, you know, you don't see people that are homeless often. They're not the homeless people that they might sit on the streets. They work. We've got people that are working and experiencing homelessness. Mm. And so it's not until it gets to the end of the day and they've gone out, they've tried to find a cheap meal somewhere, or I know a guy who would cook buy a packet of sausages and an onion, and he was funny. He said to me, you know, if you're a guy in Australia, you got a sausage and an onion, you're sweet. the free barbecue, you can cook up a meal. But it's after that, he said that it gets very lonely.
Yeah.
And he'd go back to his car, try and find a safe place to park and bed down for the night.
And then there's even those that are in houses, you know, having to couch surf every single night from one place to another. And
it's not
feel
really
like,
safe either.
Yeah, definitely not. And obviously this B Room, could this have come about without donations, or was it donations that were key to this?
Nothing that the Salvation Army can do in Australia is without donations.
Yeah.
I mean, we rely on the support of the Australian public, and that's why this weekend in particular, and right up until the end of June, it's so important for us to ask Australians to really be generous and just think outside of ourselves and dig deep and give generously. You know, most people are one or two pay packets away from needing the services of the Salvation Army.
Yes.
So it's so important for us to be able to keep our doors open so that people can come and get that hope and help.
100%.
A little goes a long way when everybody chips in.
Yeah. Lauren, if people want to donate, where do they go again?
Just head online to salvationarmy.org.au, or you can call 13 Salvos. That's 137258. Or if you see us out and about, you know, at your sporting fields, at the shopping centres, anywhere you see a red shield, dig deep. You can tap and go in some locations too.
Oh, that's so good.
Which is great for us that don't have cash.
Yeah.
And I hear that Sam might be collecting for us at the footy on the weekend.
Yep, getting around it, even on the field. I will be asking for my opponents to donate nicely, and then they can whack me afterwards.
Well, Lauren, thank you so much. Make sure you get around it. The Salvo's Red Shield appeal is happening this weekend, and if you do need to use that B Room, it is available here in Griffith. Thanks again, Lauren.
Thank you.
Want more Claire and Sam?
download the Hit app.
This is the showdown.
Want more access to exclusive prizes? Become a VIP at hit.com.au.